You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. It's Mailin' In Friday, brought to you by 1 in 100.
Who wants to have some fun? Right now, there are 600 Titleists that I got from the driving range in the trunk of my car.
Can we get on with it?
My name is George. I'm unemployed and I live with my parents.
These reports you handed in, it's almost as if you have no business training at all.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050. The Leafs live here.
Final hour, Overdrive continues. Mailin' In Friday, brought to you by 1100.net. Win killer seats to any Toronto playoff game for less than the cost of a pitcher of beer. Just go to 1100.net.
It is 9-9 men's night at the Masters. First, Zach Johnson topped his golf ball with a practice swing. John Rahm shanked one into the crowd and hit somebody in the nuts. And then our boy, Affy Barnrat, tried to rip one around the trees with a hook and fell on his ass. Just go on Twitter and look up Affy Barnrat.
Affy Barnrat is my spirit animal. I love this guy so much. He's in the clubhouse at 3-under on the tournament. Affy Barnrat is lurking.
What are these?
And hungry for a green jacket.
Can you imagine Affy Barnrat chugging down the 18th, strolling to the victory?
Yes, I can. I'm starting to picture this.
And he blows some kind of vape or dart that is just incredible. You guys showed me that pic yesterday.
That was something else.
He looked like a dragon. Like, yes. The amount of smoke that he was blowing out of his...
That was a huge haul. Like, he took a tug on something, yeah. Whatever.
It was
that
a bong hit.
You think that was tour. A vape or something? Like, that was...
That was a vape hit type of
smoke. He
took
a deep whatever, and you're right. He looked like a dragon.
I love this guy.
Are people still smoking on the tour? Obviously.
Yeah, it still happens. Yeah, there's still... Like, I don't think Angel Cabrera smokes anymore. I think he might have quit.
Well, they've got it down to a routine where they know once they hit their shot. They basically know when they're on camera.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't too many guys out there are blowing darts anymore, though.
Look at that picture. It's up there online.
Affy Barnrat. Just.
That's a vape.
Yeah, that's a vape. Like, you can't get that kind of smoke off a cigarette. Like, that. Yeah. That is so much smoke.
This guy is actually...
That looks like... You know, like a steel mill.
He's a grit grinder.
We got to get Overdrive on his golf shirt.
Yeah.
He's got the Oakley, like, 93 glasses going, the yeah. Joe Carters.
42-20 jeans.
42-20. I love him.
And just New Balance, thick white sole golf shoes.
New Balance, man. I was reading, I follow GQ on Twitter. I don't know why. I never read any of the articles. I don't know why I started following them, but right. Anyway, it doesn't matter. And they post different things all the time, like about styles and what to wear in the spring and what to wear in the summer or whatever. And I guess they did some big write-up on how New Balance is really trying to gear up and try to become more of like a stylish,
right.
Yeah, more of a trendy brand as opposed to, you know, the grit grinder in his 50s who loves to barbecue and mow the grass.
Skechers should try that too.
Skechers are built for comfort, though.
You will never, ever, ever. Like that Matt Kuchar, his shoes on the golf course. Hey, I would hand back the money and say, I'm not wearing these. They're awful. They're the worst golf shoes.
Like orthopedics.
Well, the Freddie Couples, too. Freddie walks around like pillows on his feet. You got to see
Freddie does not wear Skechers.
Yeah, he does.
I'll bet you $1 million. He wears Echoes. Matt Kuchar wears
it's the
Skechers.
Exact same. Echoes are not any
Echo
different,
is
man.
No. Skecher light.
Echoes are the exact same. Dude.
Don't ever say that about Freddie Couples.
Let me find Freddie Couples' shoes, and I'm telling you.
Either way, like what
look
would
at
you...
They're Echoes, you're right. But you're telling me those are quality sleds? I mean,
choice,
those are brutal.
New Balance?
I would wear Freddie Couples' shoes all day long. Those Skechers...
Okay, so Skechers or New Balance?
New Balance.
Okay.
Kawhi wears New Balance.
I know.
For that alone.
I'm a Kawhi fan. Kawhi's my guy.
Yeah. No, Skechers, though, I do think they've kind of cornered the market, though, for comfort. Like, that's what they really promote. You know, they're not promoting that they're the coolest looking shoes in the business, but you know you're going to be comfortable in a pair of those.
About 12 years ago, I was on the road, and we were in Anaheim. You know those outlets? by the Anaheim Hotel and that, by the rink there.
It's like a big, giant strip mall.
Yeah, strip mall and that outdoor. But there's, you know, Nike and all that. I don't know why I ended up in the Skechers outlet. There were some pretty comfortable shoes.
I'm telling you, man.
And I bought a couple.
Tell
and
you
I
what.
Was chatting. We went out to the bar, and randomly, I was just chatting some people up, a group of girls, and one of them started making fun of Skechers. Like, I don't even know how it came about. I just left those Skechers in my hotel room. Like, I didn't.
You didn't even take them back or anything.
I was like, if that what the
he trunk slammed with his Skechers,
right?
Just left
if that
them.
Was the thought process from just people out there, I wouldn't do it.
Well, see, that I think she did you a service.
Exactly.
Because you would have worn those shoes to the bar the next night, and she would have looked at you and said, this guy, there's no way.
Yeah, it would have been
repellent. I can't talk to that guy.
Just repellent.
Yeah, yeah. You're wearing Skechers at the bar. Yeah. Can't happen.
Never. Yeah.
All right, we got a guy on the line who's got a new gig down in South Beach.
One of our favorites.
I'm promoting Tommy Bahama's shirts behind the bench.
Love it.
No suit, just full-blown Tommy Bahama shirts.
That would be amazing.
It's the only place in the league I think you can do it. Here's Joel Quinville. Congrats on the new gig, Joel. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you for having me. Thanks.
Tommy Bahamas, is that your go-to now or what?
Well, they're starting to wear sweaters, so I don't know. Maybe we can add something. Who knows?
Yeah, Torts is doing it.
That's right. That's a good point. So take us through this. I mean, there was a polar vortex in Chicago this winter, and now you're off to South Beach, and a lot of people thought you'd kind of just maybe stay away from the game for a while, but you took the gig. Take us through it.
Well, it happened quick, and we're watching games and looking at different teams, different scenarios, and, Dale approached me and got a chance to meet Vinny. Vinny was very excited, very passionate about what his objective is and where he wants to go to, and we met the same type of goals. We want to win a championship, and I look at the teams, and when you look at top players, I've been fortunate to coach some of the best of the game. I think they've got some young kids that need to keep going in the same direction and elevate their game a bit there. And I think those guys, they get in the playoffs. I think there's a lot of upside. And organizationally, they got a lot of young skill, young talent, some interesting players as well. And they've had two pretty good years there, just didn't quite get in. I think that's what we want to go to. And you're seeing teams, the young teams, they can accomplish a lot and not a long time. So I think they're on the cusp, and working with Dale's part of that. And we're excited to be back together. Kind of has some of the parallels when we had what we had 10 or 11 years ago in Chicago.
Joel, you just mentioned what you're walking into. It sounds like you have a couple special players, a guy like Barkov. I think Huberto had a terrific season. We had Chris Pronger on our show the other day, and he talked about when you first got to Florida there, your speech to the team is, hey, and there was a bunch of the guys, hey, we're having a press conference for me instead of playing in the playoffs. Remember what this is like. And is that kind of the message that you wanted right from day one for these players to get that in their mindset?
Yeah, I think overall there, I think even the players had said that, you know, this is unacceptable that we find ourselves at the end of the year in the same predicament. And talking to Prongs as well, he believes that there's a lot here to get excited about. He feels that some great young assets that we got to find a way to make better and get a little bit more confidence across the board as a group. I think collectively everybody's got to take some of the ownership of this team here and to get like how important it is to you. And I think that's something we're trying to establish and look forward to getting everybody together. You know, it's an important off season for a lot of guys as well. But this is a team that just can't go on, almost making the playoffs. We got some special players here that should be doing special things, and that's what happens when you play playoff hockey, and that's what we're looking to do.
Q, a lot of high-profile coaches, great coaches, like to have influence or input on personnel. Is that something you agree for? I mean, if I was a coach, I would want that. It's one thing to coach the team, but you also want to have heavy input on the kind of players and the kind of personnel that's coming in.
Yeah, I think, Dale, you know, I think that organizationally, I think that talking about players, I think we're looking to do everything we can over the course of this off season to improve our team, and being part of that process is going to be there. And I think that as players, I should say, as coaches, as management, scouts, organizationally, Dale's got in a position where everybody's got some input, and we look forward to talking about a lot of things. We've also talked about a lot of things so far about last season and a lot of players. So it's been a fun process talking and listening and learning. There's a lot of good players around the league, too. So we'll look at all those options, what's available, and being a part of that, I look forward to it.
With the new head coach of the Florida Panthers, Joel Quenneville, as you stated, you know, the Stanley Cup playoffs are ongoing, and everyone's played now, so someone's either up 1-0 or down 1-0. But can you take us into the coach's room in between games, specifically game one leading into game two, regardless of whether or not you won or lost? Do you fight the urge to make drastic adjustments? I mean, how do you, because the rest of the world is overreacting to a win or a loss. How does a coach react?
Absolutely. I mean, it's like, you know, you saw two big, not necessarily upset in the Toronto series, but Columbus winning game one after getting kind of watching in the opening period against Tampa. It's like, okay, it's one game. I mean, obviously, you know, Tampa's got some pressure on them. Boston's got some pressure on them, but it's a long series. First rounds take a lot out of your team. You got to expect that it's going to be a long series. I always say take it one period or one shift at a time and win the small battles because it leads to winning the war. So it's a, you know, I think that those teams that are up 1-0, and I think you got to be excited about winning the next game. And the desperation of being down a game will probably be shown immediately by those teams because that's a really tough position to be down 0-2, especially when you're, you know, the home team. So, you know, there's some interesting games. I mean, I love playoff hockey. But the pace of the games is fun to watch. I mean, this is, the regular season is great hockey, but when you see playoff hockey, there's nothing like it.
What do you say to the guys to try and either keep them even keel or to ramp them up a little bit? We're certainly focused on the Bruins and the Maple Leafs series last night, and you know the Leafs went in and played terrifically. You know, not from start to finish, but to me they did a really good job, and they deserve to win. If you're Bruce Cassidy, what are you saying to your troops the next day, and then vice versa? What do you if you're Mike Babcock?
Every day's different. I think when you come in, no. You know, I think the one thing is you want to keep composure. You want to keep a, kind of a balanced outlook on the game. And as a team, you prepare them the right way. But there's going to be some up and downs. You're going to be facing some adversity. There's going to be some points in every series where you're going to be exposed. We're almost sitting there. If it goes the other way, we're in big trouble. And, you know, obviously you want to prevent that. But it's almost like every single series that you go through and the four of them, it can happen in round one where you're sitting there, wow, this is, we got to find a way to either win this game, to turn the momentum around the other way. And that's the fun part about it. That's the thrill about winning a cup is the highs and lows and the memories you share with your teammates going through that whole process. And it can happen right out of the gate. Sometimes it's round two, sometimes it's round three. But round one, that's the toughest round because you're not in that mix yet till you get into it. And all of a sudden, hey, the pace is all out. And I think you just want to make sure that they keep your composure. It's a long series. Expect a long series. And, you know, and then when you get into those big games, I was fortunate deeper in series, our best players were always great. And a lot of times they're the difference.
With Joel Quenneville, what about chipping away at the refs as a head coach? I mean, hey, how did you handle that?
I used to be a ridiculous chirper. And I even say, you know what, I really toned it down
really?
Towards the end the last couple of years, but I was bad. You know what, it's like, you know, I should apologize to the referees, okay? But
I heard a few chirps.
Who knows when I come back, though, if I get excited. I don't know if I can get, we'll see.
Yeah, I feel like you might get amped up. Game one of the preseason next year.
Yeah,
just
I don't know about that one.
Have you scouted out the pony scene down in South Florida, or you already know the logistics of that down there?
Not yet, but I watch Gulfstream from afar. and many other places.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's a great spot, South Florida. I think you'll probably enjoy yourself down there.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. Everybody in the family is excited about the opportunity to be down there, so it's part of the decision as well.
Well, congrats on the gig. Enjoy the off season. I'm sure we'll see you at some point over the summer, and thank you for doing this today. We appreciate it.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a great playoffs.
There's Joel Quenneville, the new head coach of the Florida Panthers.
The 9-9 Tam O'Shantern.
What is going
on? Pins and Skins night is continuing. Tiger Woods just hit a shot from the rough on 14, and a fan
stepped on his foot or what?
Cross-blocked his ankle, and I don't know if he was drunk or he wiped out. I don't know what the hell happened, but it was just... This is men's night at Tam O'Shanter out there. People slashing it around.
We actually have the call. Do you guys want to hear the call?
Yes.
This is what went down at the Masters like 3 minutes ago with Tiger Woods.
See the eyes open. Oh, look at that. Oh, my goodness. Oh. I can't believe we just saw that.
That's what just happened. Some goon tried to get out in front of the crowd to like chase after the green, and he blew a wheel and almost took out Tiger Woods.
And this is how it sounded from Augusta National.
Oh, look at that. Oh, my goodness. Oh. I can't believe we just saw that.
What is going on there?
Honestly, like
it's men's night at Tam O'Shanter.
It's not the Masters.
Pins and skins, $10 entry.
Jeans are mandatory.
Yeah.
I'm asking Q like a decent question like about the playoffs and that. Tiger's like limping out of the crowd.
I mean, we've got it up in here. We're just going to be honest about it. We've got it. But they didn't show like the full clip of this guy blowing a wheel and almost taking out Tiger Woods. But you could see him limping away. Remember, I looked at you. What just happened there?
I think he was over-exaggerating.
A massive over-exaggeration. But still, that idiot is getting dragged off Augusta National grounds.
Well, Tiger's got his built-in excuse if he melts down.
Look at this guy.
It's a cop. He was trying to stop the people from coming in and blows a wheel and hits Tiger on the ankle.
You know what that looks like? Remember when Usain Bolt got taken out by the guy?
On the Segway,
and he just loses. And he, like, that was way worse because he could have blown
Bolt
up both
went down hard.
Really hard.
Tiger got clipped.
Tiger's milking it. Yeah. Like, it's a total Oscar.
I got to see this.
Because he had a great shot. He was out in the trees. He was. Look at this guy.
He's not expecting it, though.
No.
Like, that actually, if that hit him.
That is so blown out of proportion, though.
Like, but he's, you know. Okay, but you know it's Tiger Woods.
That's a top 10 tonight for sure.
Oh, for the rest of time.
But the top 10 SportsCenter tonight will be, you know.
Biggest blunders from security guards or fans or whatever.
And the cameraman, remember the car in the Tour de France?
Yes, when it runs into the biker.
Yeah.
Like it runs into one of the athletes.
That'll be on there. The guy on the Segway with Usain Bolt.
That's Tiger's security guard. That guy, this is the job he's been waiting for his whole life.
Yeah.
And he blows a tire on the wet grass.
And hurts. Well, Tiger's not hurt.
And you know he's yelling, get back. And he almost blows out Tiger Woods.
Don't go near Tiger Woods. And he blows out his ankle.
If Tiger was wearing a Skecher, though, he'd be fine.
You're right.
He'd be padded.
Yeah, you're right. He's in Nikes.
Ankle straps.
But he is like he got out to the fairway and he started doing the ankle turns on the fairway.
By the way, he hit an incredible shot. Putt on the way and makes it! Yes! Let's go to 15 and birdie, baby!
We're charging at Augusta on a Friday afternoon.
And just think, he just blew two birdie putts prior to this.
And an ankle.
Yeah, now he's high-fiving the security guard that just blew out his ankle.
No, he hates that guy's guts.
That guy's nowhere around tomorrow.
He is
in Weirzy's trunk.
He's in Mike Weir's trunk.
Text to Weirzy. Hold on a sec at the front gate. Open the trunk. I got a passenger.
Weirzy, I know you're already in North Carolina. We need you to turn around to get back to Georgia.
Yeah.
We need a pickup here.
Tiger just shooed him away and said, Weirzy's in the parking lot. Go hop in.
You'll know his car because the engine has been running for 3 hours.
We should check.
He started it on 7.
We should check Google Maps to see how far Weirzy would be. So if you're driving from there.
Yeah.
All the way to Toronto?
Well, distance, I believe it would be 14 and a half hours.
And he's 2.5 in, you think?
Right. Well, I think he's in North Carolina. I think he's blown through South Carolina.
We should actually track a Google map and go.
No, he's in South Carolina still. He is just creeping over the South Carolina border.
He's just going through, like, Charleston or something.
Something around there.
And I'm sure there's some motels.
Yeah. He'll be in North Carolina by nightfall.
And it's been planned for 2 months.
Up at 7, he'll be home in Toronto for dinner.
Yeah, it's a go-to move.
Ma, the meatloaf. I planned this on the 6th green.
Yeah.
Somebody just wrote to us and said, hey, boys, that's the Modano call.
No kidding. Thanks, Tips.
Yeah, we're aware of that.
We're in control of the calls here.
Shocking development.
Yeah,
we know that that wasn't Rosen.
Yeah.
Literally on 15 at the Masters.
Let's go to break and regroup and focus and get ready for Tiger Woods to play the par 5 15th hole.
Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. Big one tomorrow night. Raptors game one against Orlando at 5 p.m. tip-off. Puck drop for game two. Leafs Bruins at 8 p.m. Perfect timing for the Amsterdam Brewhouse. Remember to head over to Amsterdam Brewhouse on the Queens Quay, TSN 1050's playoff headquarters. Scotty Mitchell pointed this out today. We had forgotten about it because, you know, there's so much going on in the city with the Leafs and the Raptors and the Masters and Game of Thrones. I mean, you can't forget about that, of course. You guys would, but
we will. Until...
You're going to cue that up on Sunday night?
No, he's going to put it on his PVR.
No, I'm watching it Sunday night. I don't know if I'll be watching it live necessarily, but I can't picture myself going to bed Sunday night without watching.
So you've gone through every one. This. You're not just a newbie. You've
no, I've seen it all. Yeah, I did a binge, man. I watched it all in like 2 weeks.
I did start watching it. I got up to there is some this little guy, man. He's
Peter Dinklage is like early on. He is just a degenerate. Like he loves a brothel.
The first scene,
it's all brothel.
The first scene, like his brother or somebody comes in and is like, "Sorry to interrupt." He's like in the middle of having sex.
Yep, he and gets after like, it. He's a little
horny guy.
He is.
But he likes getting after it. But
I'm going to try and stick with it. I'm not there yet, though.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on right now too. It's a difficult time of year to get into different shows and all that. But anyway, because Vladdy got injured, you know, we knew he wasn't going to break camp with the team anyway. But he's been rehabbing, and he's up with Buffalo, and he hit a moonshot last night. Like, he turned on this ball, and he hits it with such conviction. Like, it is gross how hard he hits this, and he turns on it. He hit just a moonshot to left last night. But anyway, the point I'm trying to make is today is the day that everyone's had circled for quite some time because service time is no longer an issue for Vladdy Guerrero Jr. They've held on long enough. They're going to have a seventh year of control if they were to call him up. You know, tonight, tomorrow, whatever. We thought this weekend at some point he would be called up. He's not going to be now. I think they'll let him continue to rehab and get in form and continue to feel comfortable. But
don't drag it out. When he's clear and healthy, bring him up.
Yeah, in the next week or two, call him up.
Everyone deserves it, including the player.
Yes, he's done enough. He's the number one unanimously ranked prospect in baseball. Let's go.
They wouldn't do it. Don't call him up on a Leafs home playoff, a Leaf night playoff game.
Well, that's why I wonder if now with the Leafs going, the Raptors going tomorrow, because he was injured and all that, do you push it back like 2 weeks and then wait to see? But what if the Leafs get through to the second round?
Then do it on an off day.
Yeah.
That's all I would say is do it on an off day. If the Leafs beat Boston and they're waiting for, I still believe Tampa gets through or, you know, whoever, it's Tampa, I think. They're waiting for that scenario, then why not like do it on an off day?
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
Because you're gonna have to like you've got to build the scenario up. That's one thing that you do have as an ace in your pocket if you're the Blue Jays.
It's your only marketing tool this whole season.
So don't do it on a night like imagine like the even if the Leafs are playing like a game seven and he's eligible to come up.
Don't do it
that night.
I wouldn't either, but
I know.
You know how these these teams are? They're in their own world, in their own bubble. They don't care about anybody else. But if I'm Rodgers, you know, if I'm the owner, I would be like, hey, guys,
just be smart.
Game seven tonight, and if he's playing, there's going to be 4,000 people in the building and 20,000 people total even paying attention because the Leafs are playing game seven.
By the way, half a block over in Leaf Square is going to be ram-packed.
Right. Well, and that's the beauty of tomorrow with the staggered times is before the Raptors game and during the Raptors game, it'll be all Raptors fans, as it should be. And then I think when the game ends and clears out, let's say at 7:30, 7:45, I think they'll open it up and Leaf fans will start showing up. It's supposed to be a really nice evening tomorrow night.
It was a little chilly last night. Like, I felt for the people in the square there. I know
they're committed. I'll give them credit. But it's not my thing, but they are fully committed.
Well, I just hope that they can either BYOB, bring your own booze, or you have access to keep yourself warm that way.
Well, coffee or tea or something. You know, if you're outside for like 4 hours, like pre-gaming, watching the game, there's no escaping it either. It's not like in the intermission you can be like, all right, I'm going inside somewhere.
Was it yesterday that we had a whisk of snow, or was it the day before?
Yeah, it was yesterday.
I thought yesterday there was snow.
Yeah, it was. full blown snow, like snow, like accumulating on my car, like on the roof of my car, there was snow.
And today it's supposed to be 16. I don't really think it's 16, but
it was in the early afternoon. Then it rained and it cooled down. Yeah. But anyway, it's supposed to be nice tomorrow, and we'll see. And we're going to be down at the square on Monday and Wednesday for Game 3 and Game 4.
Yeah.
Next week, we're going to be doing our show live from Maple Leaf Square, and we're going to be on radio. We're going to be on TV. Like, everything's covered for Monday and Wednesday next week. So we're looking forward to that. Darren Dreger, a hockey insider, will join us here in a moment. Jets in action tonight. Dreger's been out there in Winnipeg, and I mean, we'll let him kind of set the scene and let us know about the mood. But I would assume there's some anxiety in the air out there.
Well,
St. Louis got you in Game 1.
They did, and here's the scenario that the Leafs escaped last night: is you're not tying anything back to last year. It's done. Like, from the Leafs' perspective, it's done. A Game 7's not tied to Game 1 anymore.
Right, now you've got a different example.
Exactly. You've got a sample size here where the Jets, all I saw is, okay, their last five games, they've lost now five games in a row, and they've scored seven goals.
Right. And coming down the stretch in the regular season, they didn't play that great.
Like, what the Leafs escaped today by their effort last night.
Yep, it's a good point. Let's head to Winnipeg now. Here's our TSN hockey insider, Darren Dreger. Set the scene for us, Dreg. What's the mood like out of Winnipeg?
Yeah, it's okay. Inside the room, they're saying all the right things. They're talking about a higher level of confidence, and they didn't expect to sweep the St. Louis Blues, and they feel like there are some areas that they can tighten up and improve on. But they're confident going into Game 2. I'm not so sure that the fan base is as confident. But as Babcock said a week or so ago, he's yet to see a fan play a game. So we'll see. I want to see him face adversity again tonight. If St. Louis scores early or gets a lead at some point in the game, I want to see how Winnipeg responds, because they didn't respond well after David Perron tied it up in the third the other night.
Dregs, going into the playoffs, we were kind of circling, especially on the Canadian teams, guys who were struggling or may not have had the seasons that they wanted. In Toronto was William Nylander. He scored last night. First game for the Jets, it was Patrick Laine. I thought he played quite well. Do you see a renewed sense of confidence, or did Paul Maurice actually talk about his game?
Yeah, and then Maurice pumped him up prior to the start of the series and said that he'd been playing better and he'd been hitting posts. The puck wasn't going in for him, which obviously is going to negatively impact his offense or his confidence, because he's, he's a goal scorer, he's a shooter. But he looked engaged in Game 1. And, I mean, what a play by Brian Little to create that scoring opportunity. And then, Laine just absolutely fires it under the bar. But that kind of jump-started his game after that. Brayden Schenn tried to get to him in the first period, get under his skin. That really didn't seem to impact Patrick Laine at all. But going into that game, I chatted with him briefly on Tuesday, and I just asked if he had done any work in studying Bennington's game, whether or not there's a weakness on the glove side, blocker side, any tendencies he might notice. And he said he hadn't yet, but he just said, look, man, he goes, where my confidence is at right now, I'm just focused on hitting the net. Well, he did that in Game 1, so let's see how he fares tonight.
How did Bennington, Darren, handle the first game in the morning? There was some talk about some tweets he had sent out early. And the timing of that is somewhat suspicious. I don't know why it would have to come out then, but did he answer those questions, or that was just not for him to answer?
No, he stood in there. I mean, he earned my respect because, you're right. I mean, I don't know who dug these tweets out. They're from 5-6 years ago, and yes, they were insensitive, and he was a kid back then. He was 19, but he stood in there, and he accepted full responsibility. He acknowledged, of course, it was a mistake 5-6 years ago, but he's grown as a person because he's matured as a young man. So he took a couple of questions, and then Mike Caruso, who is one of the best PR guys in the business, stepped in as, the media tried to belabor it a little bit and just said, all right, let's kick back into the series and start talking about hockey. But, for an inexperienced goaltender, certainly at this level, he's got some poise. Not cockiness, but he's got some poise both on and off the ice.
With Darren Dreger, a hockey insider, I'm sure you got a chance to watch that Maple Leaf game last night. And, we've been hammering away on it all afternoon. It's funny how one game can really change the whole narrative. You know, there was so much anxiety leading into it, a lot of concern, understandably so, because of the reputation of the Maple Leafs in the past and the way they have been defending. But I thought they played a great game last night. What did you make of it?
Yeah, you know what? I liked everything about it. And, again, I liked how they faced the challenge. You know, the Bruins get one early. You know, the big line comes through, and Toronto didn't wilt at all. In fact, they fired right back and then took control of the hockey game. You know, Mitch Marner has proven time and time again that he deserves to be in a special class because he's a superstar player. But he wasn't alone, and he got a lot of help. It was an excellent game by William Nylander from where I sat and watched. I thought that Austin Matthews did his job as a top center in the National Hockey League. Freddie elevated his game. We knew that that was going to have to be the case. And correct me if I'm wrong here, guys. I thought collectively that might have been the best game I've seen the Toronto Maple Leafs defense play all year. So let's see if they can keep it up.
Well, I certainly think so in the third period. You know, the third is where... especially in that building, we've just seen it so many times.
And a trade that paid off, like that's
Jake Muzzin
I thought was terrific.
Yeah,
and Morgan Riley deserves credit. I thought Morgan was really solid.
Yeah, I thought he was jumping up in the play, but he wasn't careless.
No,
you know, he made sure to cover his angles. And yeah, no, you're right. I mean, I thought Gardner was a little bit jittery
that third pairing. But honestly, if you look at it, it was the Bruins' top guys that were shaky.
Yeah,
we weren't talking about the Leafs' D. Like we came in here talking about, like I thought they did a job, and I circled for my personal thing. I thought Jake Muzzin just brought experience and really a swagger to it, but they did a great job.
Well, now they made it a series, right? You know, you steal one on the road, especially the opener of a series, and I don't know if that's going to wake up the Boston Bruins or not. It doesn't matter. I mean, if the Toronto Maple Leafs can duplicate that game in game two, or can continue to build off that as this series unfolds, then I like their chances.
With Darren Dreger, a TSN Hockey Insider. The other game's going on tonight. You know, we all collectively thought San Jose really played well a couple of nights ago.
I agree.
Vegas, now they're on the road, so even if they lose tonight, they'll say we haven't lost a home game. But Pittsburgh, you know, they're in that position. Those two series with the whole 2-3 seeds, and you know, you would expect them to go pretty deep, but is there one in particular there, Dregs, where you feel like they really need to even this up before they go home, whether it's Vegas or Pittsburgh?
Yeah, you know, probably both. You know, I know you're looking for one versus the other, but you know, Pittsburgh clearly has to tighten things up defensively. You know, there was a lot of talk around the San Jose Sharks going into the series against Vegas. I think that, you know, to some degree, we're still a little intoxicated and in love with the storyline of the Vegas Golden Knights, and maybe we should be based on, you know, their march to the final last year, and they had a real good year again this year. But, you know, San Jose is a very good team. They're an excellent team. Their goaltending had a big question mark beside it. I didn't watch that game as closely as some of the others, but... You know, Martin Jones made the saves that he had to make. I mean, at times, he'd give up a rebound, looked a little shaky here or there, but I don't think you overanalyze a win this time of year. So I think San Jose is a believable team, and maybe I got to start listening to some of my Western Conference contacts who said keep an eye on the Sharks.
Darren, did you get to see your good friends Ray and Gord this morning?
No, their flight was delayed. Ray's been bugging me all afternoon about all kinds of things, including wanting me to go with him to the rink in about 30 minutes. And it's an 8:30 local start. Not sure why I need to be there 3 hours beforehand. But,
who the hell would want to go three hours before the game?
I might see him. There's a... And O-Dog, you would love this. It's a bit of a dive bar right across the street from the rink. It's called the Tipsy Cow. So... I'm planning on meeting those guys after the game tonight.
Very nice. Hopefully Winnipeg's rocking, man. Yeah. Friday night, like you said, an 8:30 local time start. I mean, that has all the makings of a pretty dangerous evening.
And hopefully, because there's the travel days tomorrow, that's a day off?
Yeah. Well, it's not a day. Well, for those guys, it is. I mean, when you're working on the broadcast, you know, you don't have to do the panel chats and all the stuff that we have to do. So I'm sure Ray and Gord have got something planned. They'll probably get out of Dodge. I don't know where their next game is. You know, they're doing that Calgary series as well, so maybe they're going back there. But
I've got to work in Winnipeg, and then Sarah Orlesky and I are jumping on like a 5:15 flight through Mini that gets us into St. Louis at about 11:30 at night. So that's my day.
Beautiful.
That's not too bad.
All right, buddy. Enjoy it. Enjoy the weekend. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
Okay, guys. Thank you.
There's Darren Dreger, our hockey insider.
Never heard a word he said the last comment. He could have farted on the radio.
He was talking about his travel plans. I was more talking about a green light tonight. All of a sudden, he told us when he was flying out and what flight and all that. And you.
Well, he gave me the hand wave, and he said, look at the TV, and this snake goes in for Tiger Woods. Well, to get to 6 under, one behind the lead.
Yeah, Eldrick was hanging over like a 25-foot.
He should be leading the golf tournament. He had a 5-footer on 12 and a 5-footer on 13 miss, and he just drains a snake.
Look at the fist pump. He's jacked.
But what if we were doing the interview and it came back and he had like a one of those boots on his ankle?
Like, yeah, like a walking boot.
A walking boot.
I would love that. With a Nike, he'd have to have a Nike check on it.
Nike walking boot. Or he had the thing the foot had here. Well, imagine wheeling down the fairway with the foot cart. Oh, my God.
That would be hysterical. What here comes Tiger.
It's like a pedal.
It's like a foot pedal where if you break, you know, you have a real broken, you know, foot, ankle, ligaments, or whatever, you bend your knee and you
put your shin on it and you just wheel around with
like
one leg.
It's like a scooter.
It's basically a one-legged scooter.
The foot was wheeling around with one for months.
Yeah. People don't know who the foot is, but he was a colleague of ours, and he had serious ligament damage, and he was honestly bombing around this place.
Didn't you have one, like a talk to with the foot, and he wheeled his foot up on a desk and his toes were just eyeballing you?
Yeah. I had to sit down, and this guy's foot was up and his toes were just
Just
staring me down.
Just eyeballing you.
Barking at me for a 15-minute sit down. But anyway, Tiger Woods is now at 6 under. The leaders are at 7 under, so he is officially in the hunt. Was he on 16 now, I think?
He is on 16, par 3. Approximately 172 yards to the hole, back right pin placement, small area to land the golf ball. He is eyeballing the situation as we speak, checking the wind conditions. That's where my buddy blew some darts in that crowd, right to the right.
You guys were in there?
Yeah, we were
on 16.
That's the best place to sit because you see people coming down 15, shots on 16, drives on 17.
But that green is tiny.
Tiger, the foot woods with the approach shot about to go airborne. Here we go, folks.
What if he hits the
green? He seems to not like it. He needs a little left.
Oh, no, he likes it on his face.
Now, that'll funnel down to the front of the green, which will leave him approximately a 50 to 60-foot putt.
Wow. Yeah, that's not good. But it's still, he's on. Get up in two and
You're good.
Get out of Dodge at 6 under. I'll sign off on 6 under on the day, on the tournament, period. We should point out, because the reason we're bringing this up, the whole, you know, the foot and the one-man, the one-leg scooter and all that stuff, is when he was playing on 14 or 13, he was in the woods. And he hit his shot, and he started walking towards the fairway, and a security guard got a little bit too happy and a little bit too excited and started racing to push back the crowd, and he blew a wheel, and he almost took out Tiger
Very
Woods.
Very dangerous.
Went Tonya Harding on him.
Very dangerous, and Tiger did the whole limping, exaggerated limp routine.
He sold it.
If he was 3 under, if he was 3 over right now, he would have
walked
out.
Off the goal.
He would have literally pulled out of the tournament.
Stretcher. He would have pulled the foot.
Stretcher.
And he would have wheelied on the footmobile all the way to the... And he would have texted Weirzy.
Yeah, I was just
going
to say...
I'm coming too.
Pick Mike me up. We're Mike going Weir. South to Jupiter, Florida. We're not going back to Ontario.
Yeah, him and Weirzy would
drive your 1985 Cadillac onto the 8th or the 14th hole and pick me up.
Yeah. If he was 3 over on the tournament,
he would have quit.
Yeah, but because he's at 6 under and feeling it...
He's the foot.
I'm okay. Yeah. I can grind through it. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine and start teeing up again what's been a really, really cool evening and really, really cool weekend ahead. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, the Blue Jays back home in action tonight with Tampa in town. 3-game series against the Rays. And tomorrow the real stuff begins for the Raptors. Game 1, 5 p.m. tip-off. With Orlando here, and I feel real good about the Raptors' chances. We had Danny Green on in the 4 p.m. hour. You can find everything podcasted online at tsn1050.ca and subscribe and check us out on iTunes and on Spotify. And Danny Green sounded pretty confident. You know, he said, listen, everything's been going well for us this year, but now the real season begins. And, you know, you asked him about Kawhi and what you can expect, and he said, You expect him to amp it up, but everyone's going to amp it up.
There was one analyst that didn't take the Raptors.
I saw that.
Yeah, so
Was that a dude down in Orlando or something?
The Grappler sent it out late last night. I don't even know what he was doing.
Yeah, I think it was Damon Jones, maybe. It was on ESPN.
Yeah.
And listen, Orlando has played really well. They have, and they've defended really well.
But that's
the NBA, we've used...
That's a very predictable league.
Very predictable, and we have used the flip the switch term a lot this week. In the NBA, it's unparalleled. Like, teams are literally just mailing it in. Then they get to the playoffs, and they're like, okay, let's go. And I think that's what the Raptors are going to do. And they still won 58 games.
Yes.
They had a great season, but I expect the Raptors to show up and be like,
we're ready to rock here.
Let's get going. This is what we've been waiting for
Who's
all
the
year.
Who's the most feared flip switcher? You think the Golden State Warriors could just say, you know what, party's over?
Absolutely. They're the number one candidate because they've had, like recently, you know, in the last couple of weeks, they got blown out a couple of times. They've lost some goofy games at times this year. They lost badly to Phoenix at home.
You think they care one bit?
They could not care less.
That's a team.
And starting
that just,
this weekend, let's go. Yeah, let's go. Like we're all good, and we're gonna run off a lot of wins, and we're going back to an NBA final.
I'll tell you what, the men's night at Tam O'Shanter, and it continues. $10 nine and dine skins and pins. Adam Scott 1 foot putt with the pin in, and he blew it 3 feet by. Tam O'Shanter Open.
What's going on? It's really ridiculous.
I don't know what's going on over there.
It is. It's actually very entertaining, but for the wrong reason.
Well, it's humanizing anyway.
You think that security guard's back on Tiger detail?
No, I'm not sure we'll ever see him again.
He could be in Weir's trunk.
Yeah, he might be. And it's so true, though. Like, if Tiger was five over, he would have been taken off on a stretcher.
No, he's in the car with Weirzy.
Yeah, literally call the paramedics. I'm out of here. I just blew out my... I need my leg to be amputated because this guy tapped my heel.
Weirzy, can you spin down to FLA, drop me off, and then go to Toronto?
That's the move. Time now for our best bets brought to you by Proline. Tampa wins tonight, Winnipeg tonight, under the number in the San Jose game. Throw down 20, you can score 74. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with Proline. Proline, get way into the game. Game one for the Raptors tomorrow. Game two for the Leafs tomorrow. Masters going all weekend. Game of Thrones Sunday night. We break it all down.
At 4 p.m. on Monday.
Join us.